So I want to take a moment in between series that we're going through just to be able to talk about kind of the journey we are on as a church and kind of just relate to where this fits for all of us here and what I really believe God wants us to do and really helping one another to grow in a relationship with Him. So this has been a part of a 14-month journey where we've seen a lot of changes and a lot of different things taking place. Some of those changes have taken some time, some have been faster than others, and there's still a lot more things that we would like to do, we'd like to see happen, because we fully believe in the concept of what our mission is. And it's all based on Jesus' statement in John 10:10. And John 10 is all about Jesus telling us that He is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And if we would follow Him, it would lead to something. And so He says, guess what? But you can follow other things. And we all know that because we have all done this in our lives, haven't we? We followed the wrong thing, it led to the wrong place, and we're like, oh no, how did I end up here? And you're like, oh, is there a different way? Yes, there's a different way when we follow Jesus. And He says that the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? We have all been down that path before. We could all tell our stories of steal, kill, and destroy. How we thought something was going to be great, and it stole a dream from us. It ruined a relationship. Whatever happened, because that's what sin does. But it's so enticing that we end up, don't we, going down wrong paths. And He says that's what the thief loves to do. Loves to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's happened to all of us. Jesus goes, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. A rich and satisfying life. And what does that look like? But that's what we're after. And that's what we want to call you to. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. And we want to help you do that as a church. So we put this all in place and we try to tell you this all the time. Our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Christ. So when you gather on Wednesday night and we are working with students and kids, we're doing the same thing. We're leading people into a growing relationship with Christ. For our camp during the summer, when we take kids for a week and you're like, thank you for doing that, right? And you're like, I love the break. And we have the kids. What do we tell the kids? We are there to lead them into a growing relationship with Christ. Because that's what it means to follow Jesus. It's always growing. You're always becoming closer to Him, or at least you should be. And that's what we're all about. That's what we're trying to help you to do as we do it together, as we learn what it is to do that together. So that's our mission. That is literally what we're all about. So if you've noticed, okay, for those of you who have been around longer in the last couple weeks, you've noticed that we've gone through a name change. And you're going to see that more and more. And we are calling ourselves Thrive Church. Now, why? Because it's a concept that following Jesus makes your life better and makes you better at life. Truly believe that. It makes your life better. I know what a lot of you believe, okay, because it's been out there. Going to church, all you're going to hear is a bunch of do's and don'ts. That's why you're leery about reading the Bible. It's just going to tell me what I can't do. I just know it, okay? And it's going to be that fun thing I really love to do, and it's going to tell me I can't do it anymore. Because that's a lot of times how we view Scripture, okay? It's just there to tell me all the stuff I can't do. And we forget that Jesus wants to make our life better and make us better at life. So if you're here last Sunday, if you weren't, go on and listen to it. We talked about how following Jesus makes marriage better by moving us from me to we, and changes the concept and the beauty of our relationships if we would do that. That's what I'm talking about. If following Jesus makes your life better, and it makes you better at life, and following Jesus is the only truly way to allow our lives to thrive and to be all that God has in store for them. And Thrive, we recognize the need to reach the nones, the dones, and the undones. Talked about this before. What do we mean by that? The nones, the dones, and the undones. When I explain this to you, you're going to probably know somebody in every single category that you run into every day, that are neighbors of yours, that you go to school with, that you work with. You're going to know who this is. And this just helps us understand and identify where people are at. And it is so important. The nones, the dones, and the undones are not labels. They are people's stories that you and I, we have to pause in our life to hear their story, because it makes us understand where they're at, and it helps us to know how can we help them in their current state in their life. The nuns, no faith whatsoever, okay? No faith whatsoever. And they just don't, okay? This Jesus thing, no, church not for me, none, Okay? No faith whatsoever. Okay? This group, according to everything they're telling us in our own country, keeps getting larger. Okay? That there is a growing group called the nuns. There is no faith whatsoever. But then there's the duns. See, the duns have left the faith that they have. There was a statistic that came out this week that it's one of those projection things. You ever seen those? You know, in 20 years, this is going to happen. And it's made to just sound the alarms and say, don't let that happen, please. The alarm that was sounded was this, that in 2050, okay, this is what they're just charting. I have no idea how they do this, by the way, okay? They're probably the same people that tell us the weather, okay? And right, they just get it wrong. But anyway, they project. And they're looking out and they're saying, do you know what's going to happen in 2050? In 2050, we will have 35 million people who are duns. 35 million. Most of those, okay, are going to be below a certain age. They're going to be younger people, okay, who are done. They have left the faith they have. Maybe grew up in church, went to youth group, went to college, and then went, you know, had a professor that said, Bible, that Bible thing, that's all a farce, it's a lie. None of it's ever true, and they walked away. Whatever their story is, the duns all have a story. Sometimes the story is something that happens in the church that they're a part of. But they're just projecting out that that group is going to get larger and larger and larger as the years go on. And when I'm talking about nuns, people with no faith whatsoever, they've been here, they've been a part of a church, but now they're done. They're just done. They've left the faith they have. They're gone. They don't want anything to do it again. And that group keeps getting bigger. And you know people who are done. You know those people. And you know their story. And you know how you can pray for them and encourage them and where they are right now. And then there's the undones. People are facing difficult and sometimes tragic circumstances in their lives. And you know parts of their story because they've put them on social media, they've asked people to pray for them, and you know part of their story. But because of what's going on in their life, they're undone. They're just looking and going, yeah, I don't know about this whole Jesus thing. I got this tragic thing going on, and I really don't have time for God. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for any of that. Do you know what's going on with me? And there's this sense that I'm not sure God could help with what I'm dealing with. I'm not sure God has an answer for what I'm going through. So I'm so undone. I'm so ravaged by what's going on in my life. I just have no moment for faith and no time for faith. And those are the three groups that we want to make sure that we are finding a way to connect with, that we are encouraging you to know their story and find out their story, and that you encourage them where they are in their life, back to faith, or introducing them to faith for the first time, or helping them through whatever thing they are going through. Because I don't know what makes it that way, okay? Things are going well, we might, you know, go to church, and sometimes when things go bad, okay, that's when we disconnect. That's when we push away from God. Thinking, I don't know, things should be better, things should be different. You're upset that God didn't come through, that God didn't do something for you, and you have just been an undone. So those are the three groups we are particularly interested to see what God might do. Now, to introduce this whole thing, I've walked us through the parable of the sower, and I just want to revisit that for a moment this morning to introduce a concept that goes with it that I think is important. If you've ever heard this parable, Jesus told a parable about a man who went out and threw seeds out. And those seeds landed in different areas, and they produced something different, all depending on the area they fell in. Okay, so this is Luke chapter 8. You can follow along on the screen. You can open up your Bible to Luke 8. You can go to the YouVersion app, but make sure you stay in the YouVersion app, okay? Don't go to Facebook. So stay in the app, follow along with where we're going, okay? So here's Jesus' parable. A farmer went out to plant his seeds, and as he scattered it across the field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Don't think that seed did anything. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon withered and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plant. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. So they're all looking at Jesus saying, great story. What does it mean? Is it just a nice story about seeds? What does it mean? So he then goes on to make sure that everybody who's there that day listening to him, and it was a large crowd, okay, that listened to him. His disciples pull him aside later. They want to know what this is all about, okay? And this is where he's going to go, that the seed is the same. The soil is the difference. And most of you in here, if you've ever tried to grow anything, know that, right? You know that. You have dealt with that. Some of you have given up like me, right? You just gave up, okay? You just gave up. And you just went, I'm just not created to grow anything, okay? That's what you just realized, okay? And so some of you, I know, some of you are amazing, okay? You can grow anything in your backyard, in a pot, sitting in a windowsill. You can grow anything, okay? You can grow any plant you want to, okay? It doesn't matter. I can have the perfect conditions. I kill it. I just kill it. Okay? It's just what I'm good at, okay? So some of you are really good at this. So he's telling you, listen, the seed's the same. The soil makes all the difference. So this is what Jesus says. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word, okay? The seed is God's word. This is what he wants everybody to see. So that means what's going to happen is, what is our response to when God speaks into our lives? And as I will try to get you to understand, this is the best, the primary way that God is going to speak in your life. If you're waiting for God to send you a text message, okay? If you're waiting for God to put something on the side of a building or a billboard, okay, forget all that. This is God's primary way to speak into our lives. And if this is the format it sits in all week, then you are shutting him out. You're just shutting him out. And he wants to speak into our lives. Okay? There's a lot there, okay? That's a lot of speaking that he wants to do into our lives. But most of us, because we're busy and I don't have time and I don't know what God's going to make me do, this is the way it sits most of the week. And so he said, do you understand that the seed is God's word? And what happens with this in our life is everything. It's everything of what happens to this in our life when we begin to read it, or on Sunday you come here and we teach it. You have it, you do daily devotions and you have it on maybe your Bible app and you pull up that reading for the day. It has an opportunity to do something when you begin to open it. And here we go. The seed that fell on the footpath, remember, just gets nothing, okay? Represents those who hear the message only to have a devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. So in other words, can I tell you, as they are reading this, there's a whisper going, come on, that's not true. Come on, that's not true. Remember what your professor said? Remember what he said? Come on, there's no evidence that any wall in any town called Jericho ever fell. I don't know if you can believe this. Where you said, where the devil whispers, listen, you've gone through a lot in your life. You think God really loves you? Come on. If God really loved you, maybe your dad wouldn't have left. If God really loved you, maybe that person who abused you wouldn't have really abused you. And what the enemy loves to do is whisper to us about our circumstances and our situation and about our word. I don't know if you can trust this. I don't know if you can believe this. And so what happens? It just gets taken away. Whatever God is trying to speak into our life just gets taken away. And we just don't believe, don't think it's valid, don't think it has any place in our life, and it just goes away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have, and this is really important, deep roots. We'll talk about this in a moment. So hold on to that picture. They believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. In other words, something happens. And because there aren't deep roots, we're going to come back to that picture. Something happens, it falls apart. That's where it goes. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they never grow into maturity. Isn't that true? We've all put on our calendars how busy we are, and we have allowed. Come on, we've allowed it. Nobody's forced us to be as busy as we are. Nobody's made us do it, okay? We have somehow gotten convinced we have to do it. We just have to do it. I got to keep up with my neighbors and all this stuff and doing all these things. And we've just convinced ourselves we got to live this way. And we have allowed everything else to crowd out this. And because it's crowded out, it has no place to grow into maturity in our lives. And the seed that fell on the good soil, here we go, represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, and I love this picture, and cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. That something happens when they read it. They don't sit there and go, oh, I don't think that's true, or that would be nice if I had time. They look and they cling to it. What if I did that? Right? What if I did that? What if I just did what it said? What would happen if I just obeyed? And he says, it produces a huge, huge harvest. So what made the difference other than the soils? The ability to put down deep roots is what makes all the difference. It's what makes all the difference in our life. It really makes all the difference to how far you will grow in knowing Jesus and following him. How deep you put down roots will make all the difference. And so that's where I want to go today, because I want to challenge us, how well are we doing at that? How well are we doing putting down roots into who he is so that we know him, so that we grow, and so that this huge thing gets produced in our life that God wants to do. In fact, here is what Paul tells to another church, okay? Maybe he's building off this parable, we don't know, but he is writing this letter, and he tells them this. And this is a church, by the way, it struggled, because everybody in town kept saying, oh, that Paul, he's crazy, right? I don't know if you can believe this. And they struggled with the truth. Colossians is a great book of struggling with the truth and figuring out who Jesus is and are we going to follow him or not. And it says to these church-going people, right, they're trying to figure out how to follow Jesus, let your roots grow down into him. And they all got that picture. Okay, so we got to put something down into him. And then he goes on, let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will go strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. The picture here is, what am I putting roots into? What is it growing in my life? What is it producing in my life? And am I putting those down into the right thing? So there's my question for you. What have you put down roots into? Because we all do this. If we could think of Jesus' picture different, the difference was what they put their roots into that caused them to be so shallow that it only took something else to choke them out, pull them out, or take them away. Because they didn't have very deep roots. They didn't have very deep roots. If you were driving up on the square when they were in the beginning stages, before they took the courthouse down, and we won't get into that today, okay? So before that, they had all these trees to take down, okay? And there was a tree on the southeast corner of the square, on the courthouse part, that they had all sorts of problems with, okay? And by the time they got done, here's this trunk, okay, on its side, and there's all these roots out. They didn't have such deep roots dug into everything. It was so hard for them to pull it out. It was so hard for them to deal with it because it had good roots, and it was dug in deep, and it was dug in strong. And the picture is, what have we done that with in our lives? What have we done that with? That forms something. I want you to see it. That your roots and where you find your identity, your value, and your worth. I think we forget this. And so if I may split in a couple directions this morning and begin with the men in the room, isn't it true where I have a tendency, where you probably have a tendency, to put things into that form our identity, value, and worth, is our work, okay? It's the way it is. It's one of those double-sided swords, okay? That God created man to work, okay? That is Genesis 2. That is what God told Adam, and God created him to do that, okay? And the problem is, we're created to work, okay? So that means that guys who don't, okay, if you've ever seen a guy struggling with that, okay, why he's miserable, well, that's why he's miserable, because he was created to work. Then what happens is we overcompensate, we go the other way, and then our work, it just totally, that's our identity. That's how we call ourselves. That's how we look at ourselves. And so when that gets taken away, okay, either because we're forced to retire, because of age, because of circumstances, because of health issues, there are so many guys who are lost. They're lost in retirement. You know why they're lost? Well, I just lost all my identity and my worth and my value. It just went out. When they say, congratulations on your 40 years, and you retire, and here's your pension. I don't care about the pension. I lost all my identity, my value, and my worth. And probably what scares you, and what scares me, is that I have a tendency to do this like all you other people. Okay? What's the first way I introduce myself? Pastor. Right? That's just, come on, most of us do this. Our work becomes our identity. We put such deep roots into it that when something changes, we are totally lost. We are totally lost. And some of the ladies in the room know this because this is your husband and it's driving you crazy, right? And you know what to do about it. Because you're like, right? Because it's a guy problem. It's what we struggle with. They're going to put roots down into something, and a lot of times it's the wrong thing. Ladies, a lot of times it's your family. That's why the emojis come out of kids, of you crying when they go off to college. Like, no, something's happened. Can I move in next door with you? Okay? Can I just move in? Come on, the room next to you is probably open in the dorm. Let me move in with you, right? Why do we? Because that's your identity. I'm a mom. So then we come up with phrases, right? I'm a mom forever. Forever. Doesn't matter how old my kids are, right? I'm a mom forever, and you do mom things forever. Okay? And there's probably lots of other things we can talk about this morning. Those are two primary things that happen to us, where identity, worth, value gets put into something that someday can change. That someday could change. And then we're lost. And we don't know what to do. Because unfortunately, while it was a good thing, it became a God thing. And it became what we put all our identity and worth and value into. And I don't want that to happen to you, because at some point it will change. What never changes is that you and I, when we decide to follow Jesus, we are adopted into God's family. And God doesn't get a point and go, you know what? I'm sick of the report card saying how bad you've been this week. I'm just tired of you. You're done. You're kicked out of the family. God doesn't kick us out of his family, ever. That's why that can become our primary identity, because it never changes. It never changes for as old as we are or what things change in our life. What never changes is that we are a child of the one true King. That doesn't change. So guess what? That's a great thing to put roots down in, because it's something that never changes, and we can build our identity off of it. Placing the wrong thing, they always take you to a destination you didn't intend to end up. If you've ever seen the retired person who doesn't know what to do and they're miserable and they just want to die, okay, they didn't end up there. They had all these plans. They were going to do all these things. But what they forgot was that all their roots were in who they were as a worker and not who they were in God's eyes. Thrive is all about it. And here's what we want to help you do. We want to help you put deep roots into Christ. That's what we want to help you to do. Unfortunately, I can't make you do that. I can't make you do anything, right? I don't have any power. Don't have any authority to make you do anything. Part of the reason this is so hard is because this is your decision. And nobody else can make you do it, and nobody else can force you to do it. It's you. It's you and God, and it's your decision on what you're going to do. And it's my decision what I'm going to do. And if I don't decide to do that, then I'm going to put roots into the wrong thing, and I'm going to screw myself up. You're going to do the same thing. So how do we do that? If I can just talk a little bit. There are many spiritual disciplines. Okay? There are many that help us put deep roots into Christ. When we study Scripture, right? Because God's primary way of speaking to us, right? So we can find out who we are, and we can find out truth, and we can put it deep into him. So that when we do that, that's really important. Prayer is really important. Prayer is really important. And I'm not talking about God, get me out of trouble prayer, right? That's where maturity comes in, right? The prayer that I had all the time in high school was, okay, God, I did study last night. Can you help me remember everything the teacher said out of their mouth, okay? Not a good prayer. Don't pray that prayer, okay? right? We're supposed to study. We're supposed to, right? That's the immature prayer where we want God to do something. And all of a sudden, prayer changes the deeper we put roots into Him. I just want to know you. I want you to help me to figure out how can I help this person. You start praying for other people, and you start praying for things very differently than God gave me. That's what happens the deeper we put roots down in Him. Worship and fellowship. Worship and fellowship. Now, this would be nice if this took place by ourselves. You can't fellowship with yourself. You need other people. And we have totally taken this out. We have allowed our phone to substitute for fellowship. Okay? As much as social media is great, and it connects to so many people, okay, it can only do so much. And if we'd be honest, there's a lot of people you are friends with that you don't know. That you know, I almost took an example this morning because, okay, I have people I connect with on Facebook, okay? We went to elementary school together. I have not seen them since elementary school. Please do not guess how many years that has been, okay? And it's been on several years, okay? I don't even fellowship. My connectedness was what? We went to the same school in third grade. And years later, in totally different states, and they're going, you're in where? You know, doing what? You know, and you just, that's a lot of our connections. And that's great that we have those connections. That doesn't substitute for fellowship. And when we allow it to, we isolate ourselves. And we push back. And we think, oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I have 600 friends on Facebook. I'm fine. Yeah, and then 3 a.m. when something goes terribly wrong in your life, how many of those people are you going to call? That's the question you have to think about. Who are you deeply connected to, who loves you, and who cares about you, and who wants to do life together with you? So we have to change the paradigm because we have allowed this to rob the idea of fellowship, of doing life together with somebody else. It's a spiritual discipline. It means coming here on a Sunday morning is a spiritual discipline so that we can figure out how to do life together and worship together and open the Word together and allow God to speak into our life. There it is again. Let your roots go down into Him. Let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So here's what I want to challenge you to do this week, okay? The truth. Okay, I love this phrase. Mark Hall from Casting Crowns has put this in a couple songs. I absolutely love this phrase. I can't live by how I feel, but by the truth your word reveals. Tell you how, I need that in, you know, big letters plastered somewhere. Because I forget that. And I tend to go moment by moment, time by how I feel. How I feel is a terrible way to dictate our life. I need to know what God says and live that way. Okay? So how am I going to do that? And this is where I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you this week to reconnect with Christ through His Word. Okay? That's what I want to challenge you this week. That you would find a way to reconnect with Christ through His Word. I want to tell you two ways that you can do that very simply. Okay? The first, you can, on your phone, if you have the YouVersion app, there are plans. If you're on the event page this morning, I always suggest three plans that will help you, okay? You can do plans with friends. That's a really good thing, okay? Because they can go, why have you not read a plan all week, okay? They can ask you that, okay? So you might need to do it with somebody else because, frankly, come on. You know, you can put notifications, you can put reminders, but that might not be the best for some of you, right? Because you might start in, and then all of a sudden you get an Instagram notification. Oh, someone posted a new picture. Isn't this great? I guess what their kids look like, and I'm double tapping likes, and I'm going through, what was I doing before? Oh, yeah, I was reading that devotional, wasn't I? And we never get back to it, okay? So for some of you, that might not be a good solution, okay? You might need to start somewhere. Start a book of Proverbs. Read a couple of Proverbs a day. Get some truth into your life. The other way, for some of you, okay, you've been in church for a while and you've heard of the Daily Bread. And while we don't get the paper version anymore because, nobody was taking them or using them, they are online. And you can get that on your phone, you can get it on your computer, you can get it on your device, And it's the same thing. You read a devotional, you have scripture. Find some way. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Find some way, okay? And if you need help, connect with me on the Bible app, okay? I'll do a plan with you, okay? I would love to do that. There are other people that you know that would love to do that. But take a moment this week and reconnect with Christ through his word and put down some roots. Because a life that thrives has deep roots into Christ. Every single one, when you start the journey after Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, and then you start the journey, and you start reading about Paul, and you start reading about guys like Peter, and you start reading the things they wrote, and you're like, man, how'd they do that? Because they thrived, sometimes in really, really, really hard situations, because they put deep roots into Christ. And that's what I want for you, and that's what we want for you. So find a way this week to get in his word, open it up, and reconnect with Christ again, and start putting deep roots down into him. I want to pray for us this morning. We would just ask God to help us to do this, but we would just make this simple commitment this week, and we are going to find a way to reconnect with him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that I've explained this as best as I can, and I just ask you to take that and do something great with it. Jesus, you love us so much. And you desire to connect with us daily. And there we are in our busy lives. And we can't give you 10 minutes. But we've all been there. We've gotten so busy, we don't even give you 10 minutes. So this week we want to commit to reconnecting with you, Jesus, through your word, which speaks truth into our lives. Because if we'd be honest, we've been living far too much on how we feel, instead of by the truth that your word reveals to us. So would you help us? Would you empower us? And would you connect with us in a real way, that this week as we open up your word, that we will be that good soil, roots will go down deep, and we will grow up into you, and we will see a life that thrives. Because Jesus, we know following you makes our lives better and makes us better when life and as life is happening. So would you do a great work in us this week, Father, as we reconnect with you through your word. Help us to thrive in Jesus' name. Just now, I want to invite our ushers to come forward. We always say there's four ways to give. You can